Today is Palm Sunday. It was on this date in history that the Lord Jesus went into Jerusalem riding on the donkey, and it was there that they were shouting to him that day, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." A few short days later, that same crowd that were greeting him on that day with such great enthusiasm were also the people who were criticizing him and stood there before the cross and shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas instead of this man," and they put Jesus on the cross. So when we look at the season we're in, next Sunday's Easter, and by the way, we're meeting at 9 o'clock next Sunday morning. When we look at the season, we have so much to say. Here was this time of celebration when Jesus came in on Palm Sunday. And then that week progressed, and by the end of that week, they were crucifying the Lord. Now, what does all that mean to us? What does the crucifixion of Jesus really mean to us individually? We can see it liturgically. We can see it in history. We can see it in stories. We can see it in drama. But what does it mean to us individually to know about that cross? You know, we're reminded of the personal part of that whole deal by that old Southern Negro spiritual, which said, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the cross?" Actually, we were there in two ways, or at least our sins were there that nailed him to the cross. Colossians 2:14 says, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Yes, you see, in a very real sense of the word, every one of us born sinners into this world were there at the cross. Our sins were there and nailed to the cross. But we're also there in another way, in another sense, because there were a group of people that were gathered at the cross. And I think in the lives of each one of them and what they saw through their eyes, we see the needs of our own life and who we are in the midst of all of this. In other words, 2,000 plus years ago, at the cross, five people plus Jesus stood there, Jesus hanging on the cross, and the thoughts that went through their mind. Now listen to the reading of God's Word, and then after this, Jonathan's going to lead us in a song, and I'll come back and help us visit the cross with those five people who were there. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, 'I thirst.' And a jar full of sour wine stood there. And they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when he had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and he gave up the spirit." The first person that we're going to interview at the cross is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was involved in the ministry of Jesus in many ways. And I would ask her, "Mary Magdalene, what does the cross mean to you?" And I believe that she would say, "The cross to me is a place of redemption." Now, why would you pick the word redemption? Why would you say it means to me redemption? Because the word redemption means to buy back, and that's exactly what he did for me. You see, there are two traditions about Mary Magdalene. One is that she was a prostitute, a down-and-outer. The other tradition was that she was a wealthy, educated daughter of a shipping merchant. In that case, she would be an up-and-outer. But whatever the truth is about her background, it is true from Mark 18 and Luke 8 that Jesus had cast seven demons out of her. Here at the cross, he paid the ultimate price for her redemption. She would say, my life is in shambles, ruins. I was out of control with family, friends, job, future, no hope. And yet he found me and set me free. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. As I see him there on the cross, dying for my sins and for the sins of others, Mary Magdalene would say, it breaks my heart and yet fills me with joy at the same time. You see, it was for Mary Magdalene and for countless others like her through the years that led Philip Bliss to write the words of this hymn. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse he set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and set me free. Yes, for Mary Magdalene and for some of us, the cross was indeed the place of redemption. The second person there, and by the way, you notice there are four women and one man. The second person was Mary's sister, the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. And you would ask her, what does the cross mean to you? And I believe she would say to me, this cross is a place of rebuke. Now, why would you say rebuke? Because she said, one day in an unguarded moment, I approached Jesus with my two sons, James and John, seeking for them a favored place in the kingdom. And he said, you do not know what you ask. He said, are you able to drink this cup? Are you able to take this drink that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm to be baptized with? And those boys said, oh, yes, we are. My son said they could. But here today, as I see him on that cross, crowned with thorns, nails through his hands and feet, bleeding agony, my eyes can see what I was too blind to see before. The cross, for all of us, stands as a rebuke against our foolishness and our pride. Now listen very carefully. Someone said recently that Christianity began in Jerusalem with simple people who believed what they had seen and heard, and they shared it with the world. But when it went to Greece, it became a philosophy. When it went to Rome, it became an institution. When it went to Europe, it became a lifestyle. When it came to America, it became a business. So we need to watch out about our pride and be very careful about that. You see, there is no crown without a cross, and there's no wearing of the crown without the drinking of the cup. Now, following him should be a prayer of all our hearts. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood, the cross. If we're walking in pride and thinking we are owed what we have as believers, we need to see that cross as a place of rebuke for our pride. But then there's Mary, the wife of Clopas, the cousin of Mary and the mother of James the Less and Joseph. And you would ask this woman, what does the cross mean to you? And I believe that she would say to me, the cross is a place of renewal. Why do you say this? Why do you say renewal? Because she said, for all these years, I believed in him, even when others in our own family didn't. Being a cousin of his mother and often being in his presence brought a great deal of agony to me as he suffered. Sometimes I'd get so tired, I didn't believe that I could answer another question or stand one more word of criticism. It all seemed so unfair. Sometimes I just want to quit. Just walk off and leave it. And now, as I see him here dying on the cross for the sins of the world without complaining, my own faith is renewed. If Jesus can suffer, I can serve. It's worth it all. And I'm excited about the future. We all need this admonition. There are many of us who would need to return to the cross periodically and have our own faith renewed again, to be encouraged to keep on going. The blind songwriter Fanny J. Crosby put it in these words, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. There a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. At the cross I stood one day. Love and mercy found me. Then the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. For in the cross, shall be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river." The cross, for all of us, should be a place of renewal. And then there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Can you imagine standing at the foot of the cross and seeing your son nailed to a cross? Mary, the mother of Jesus, what does the cross mean to you? To me, she said, the cross is a place of reward. Why do you say reward, Mary? She said, for all of his life, I've served him faithfully and borne his reproach. When he was born, an old prophet, Simeon, said, a sword will pass through your own soul because of him. And my, how those words have been true, because sometimes I've not always understood what he said to me. And at other times, when he was sought by the crowds, days without end, and when his enemies besieged him beyond measure, I hurt all alone for him. And sometimes I wondered if he even knew I existed. A lot of mothers feel that way about their sons. Do they even know we exist? But now, to hear him making arrangements with John for my well-being, even with his dying breath, what a reward. What more could a mother hope for? Yes, cross is a place of reward. And all who serve him faithfully will be rewarded. Bill Gaither summed it up in these words when he said, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And the more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. For the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And now we get to the man, John, the apostle, beloved disciple. What does the cross mean to you? And I believe that John would say, the cross to me is a place of responsibility. You see, he would say responsibility because in his dying moments, he gave me a responsibility to take care of his mother. What a privilege. Now, you know, Jesus was our substitute. He died in our place on the cross. And here is John given the opportunity to be a substitute for the substitute. What a challenge. What a blessing. Christ has a special responsibility for each of us. He's given us gifts, spiritual gifts, and we have a responsibility. Christ took the responsibility for my sin, and I need to take the responsibility for his service. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. Not just every once in a while, but take up his cross daily and follow me. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. No. There's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Annie Johnson Flint put it this way in poetry. Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. And he has no help but our help to bring men to his side. Yes, the cross for John and for all of us is a place of responsibility. But there's Jesus hanging there on that cross, bleeding, suffering, dying for the sins of the world. Some people have said, oh, he's God. He just didn't let it bother him. The Bible tells us that he gave up all that part to be a man. That's why he's called the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he suffered on that cross just like one of us would if we got nailed up there. So Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, what does the cross mean to you? And I believe that Jesus would say, to me, the cross is a place of reconciliation. Why that word? You see, Jesus could have picked thousands of words of what the cross may have meant to him. But he would answer and say, I pick reconciliation because reconciliation is a relational word. A relational word. Being reconciled is like coming home. The cross is a place of reconciliation. It was there that man did his worst, but God did his best. Reconciliation is an act of God, not of man's works or worth. Please note the following scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:18, 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. All these verses, all the New Testament, all the scriptures testify to the fact that Jesus came to reconcile us to God. But do you ever think about the cost he paid for reconciliation? You know, he was from the beginning. In the beginning, he was creator. And yet he gave all of that up to come down and take on the form of a servant, a man, and to die for our sins. That was tough. But you see, in the 33 years he was here, he also made friends. He had an earthly family, so to speak, and he ate with those people. He fellowshiped with them. He did things with these people. And now after 33 years, he had to give it up again. Reconciliation is a two-way street. It's not easy. I heard a story of St. Francis of Assisi, of his sacrifice, which is similar in kind, but not into degree of that of Jesus. St. Francis, before he was St. Francis, was just a boy who did things boys do. And as he got to be an older boy, he fell in love with a noble, sweet woman and intended to marry her. But God called, and he dedicated himself to poverty and pilgrimage for Christ instead of having a happy marriage and children and a home. When he was in that monastery, night after night after night, her sweet face haunted his dreams and he was restless. The other brothers heard him rambling around in his cubicle and almost beaten on the wall and probably did. Because he hurt so bad at what it cost to give it up to serve Christ. And one bright moonlight night when it had snowed, he went out into the courtyard where the gas lights were burning, and he fashioned from the snow a dinner table, and he fashioned at one end of that table the form of a beautiful young woman, the one he was wishing to marry. And on each side of the table, he fashioned children out of the snow. And then he took a seat at the other end of the table. And he enjoyed fellowship for 1 hour with a family he'd never have. And after the hour, he returned to the monastery, never ever again to allow such dreams to interfere with his debt to Christ. Isaac Watts and Ralph Hudson put it in these words, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Think about the cross. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of rebuke. It's a place of renewal, a place of reward, a place of responsibility. But because of the sacrifice of Christ, it is indeed a place of reconciliation. We're about to come to the table. I want to read a passage of Scripture that will put us in the context of coming to this table. And just to listen to what God has to say as we come to this table. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You know, that word earnestly desire is almost akin to the word lust. I have wanted with all my heart to spend this time with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.